Good morning. It's April 23rd, and this is your daily brief in U.S. news. Here's everything you need to know. A landmark moment unfolds in New York as former President Donald Trump faces a trial over accusations that could rewrite the history books. At the heart of this unprecedented legal battle are charges that allege a deliberate attempt to sway the 2016 election, entangling Trump in a narrative of deceit and hidden payments. The case centers on a $130,000 payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels, which prosecutors argue was part of a broader scheme to influence the election outcome by silencing potential scandals. Trump, maintaining his innocence, denies the payment was to prevent Daniels from speaking about an alleged affair. The spotlight intensifies as David Pecker, former publisher of the National Enquirer, steps forward as the prosecution's first witness. Pecker's testimony paints a picture of a criminal conspiracy between him and Trump, revealing their efforts to suppress damaging stories through hush money plots. This trial is not just another chapter in legal history. It's the first time a former U.S. president has been criminally tried, setting a precedent that could have far-reaching implications. With a potential sentence of up to 4 years if convicted, the stakes are high for Trump. Yet, undeterred by the legal storm surrounding him, Trump continues to be a significant figure on the political stage, actively campaigning. As the trial progresses over the coming weeks, it promises to be a closely watched saga, shedding light on the intricate web of politics, power, and legal boundaries. The outcome of this trial could not only affect Trump's personal future, but also leave an indelible mark on the political landscape of the United States. In a move that underscores the United States' commitment to international affairs and digital security, the House of Representatives has convened in a rare weekend session to pass a substantial foreign aid package. This legislative action not only aims to bolster the U.S.'s military support for Ukraine, but also sets a significant precedent in the regulation of digital platforms, specifically targeting TikTok. The $95 billion aid package, with $61 billion earmarked for Ukraine, demonstrates the U.S.'s strategic priorities in supporting its allies and countering foreign adversaries. Additionally, the package includes support for Israel and introduces measures that could significantly impact TikTok's operations in the U.S. The crux of the controversy lies in the requirement for TikTok's Chinese parent company, ByteDance, to divest its ownership stake to avoid a potential ban in the U.S. ByteDance's resistance to this sale and its readiness to challenge the legislation in court signal a brewing legal showdown. The broader implications of this legislative move are profound. It targets not just TikTok, but any app originating from countries deemed as foreign adversaries, potentially affecting a wide array of digital businesses. President Biden's endorsement of the package and his commitment to further military aid for Ukraine underscore the administration's multifaceted approach to foreign policy and digital governance. This development comes amid heightened tensions and global repercussions of the conflict in Ukraine, as evidenced by the sentencing of a Russian individual in Moscow for criticizing the invasion. The passage of this aid package and the looming battle with ByteDance highlight the complex interplay between national security, international relations, and the global digital landscape. As the Israel-Gaza conflict escalates, its ripple effects are being felt far from the battlefield, notably on the campuses of some of America's most prestigious universities. This unfolding situation brings to the forefront the complex dynamics of international politics within academic environments. Tensions from the ongoing conflict have sparked protests at Columbia, Yale, and Harvard, where students are taking a stand. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators at these institutions are calling for their universities to condemn Israel's military actions and to divest from companies that sell weapons to Israel. This demand for divestment is at the heart of the protests, highlighting a push towards aligning university investments with specific political stances. Amid these demonstrations, a different voice is emerging. Jewish students at these universities have expressed concerns about their safety, citing a rise in anti-Semitic sentiments that they perceive as being linked to the protests. This has created a contentious atmosphere where the line between political protest and personal safety is becoming increasingly blurred. The situation at Columbia University has escalated to the point where the administration has transitioned to virtual classes in response to the unrest. Additionally, the university is facing financial repercussions, with a halt in donations and calls for the resignation of its president. These developments underscore the challenges universities face in managing campus safety while respecting the right to free speech. As these prestigious institutions grapple with these issues, the question remains: how can universities balance the imperative of free expression with the need to ensure a safe and inclusive environment for all students? This dilemma is not unique to Columbia, Yale, or Harvard, but is reflective of a broader challenge facing academic institutions worldwide. In a pivotal moment for local governance and civil rights, the U.S. Supreme Court delved into Grants Pass versus Johnson on April 22, 2024, a case that puts the spotlight on ordinances penalizing homeless individuals for camping on public property in Grants Pass, Oregon. This hearing signals a crucial examination of how laws affect the homeless, with the court's leaning hinting at broader implications for similar ordinances across the United States. The heart of the debate lies in the court's division, with conservative justices suggesting that decisions around homelessness should be the purview of local elected officials. In contrast, liberal justices highlight the potential for these laws to criminalize the very state of being homeless, pointing to the fines imposed on individuals for sleeping outdoors as a punitive measure targeting a vulnerable population. The decision, anticipated to arrive by mid-2024, is set to have far-reaching effects, especially in areas like Central Florida, where homelessness is not just a statistic but a growing crisis. The region, along with homeless advocates nationwide, watches closely, understanding that the court's ruling could reshape local approaches to managing homelessness. Interestingly, the Biden administration has chosen a path of neutrality, issuing a brief that neither supports nor opposes the parties directly involved. This stance underscores the complex interplay between federal oversight and local autonomy in addressing homelessness. As Grants Pass versus Johnson unfolds, it becomes more than just a legal battle. It's a litmus test for how America addresses the intersecting issues of homelessness, local governance, and human rights. With the number of unsheltered individuals rising in areas like Orange, Osceola, and Seminole counties, the outcome of this case could mark a significant shift in policy and public perception regarding one of the country's most pressing social issues. In a move that could redefine the contours of U.S.-Israel relations, Washington is mulling over a significant decision, placing the Israeli Army's ultra-Orthodox battalion, Netzah Yehuda, on a blacklist. This consideration springs from allegations of human rights abuses against Palestinians in the West Bank, a matter that has sparked a heated debate on the international stage. The United States' contemplation of blacklisting Netzah Yehuda is not without consequence. Such a decision would entail the suspension of aid and training programs specifically tailored for the battalion, marking a pivotal shift in the military dynamics between the two nations. The gravity of these considerations is amplified by the vocal criticisms from Israeli leadership. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and opposition leader Benny Gantz have united in their disapproval, labeling the potential move as unjust and an overreach into Israel's moral decisions. This unfolding situation sheds light on the intricate balance between military assistance and human rights considerations that define U.S.-Israel relations. The discourse surrounding the potential blacklisting of Netzah Yehuda underscores a broader dialogue on international military ethics and the responsibilities of global powers in upholding human rights standards. This has been your daily brief in U.S. news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.